Well, happy Sabbath once again, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR Radio, and glad to have you in fellowship with us and united with us as we lift our voices and our thoughts in praising our God from whom all blessings flow. What a wonderful time to be alive, and also a very solemn time to be alive. It should be a time in which we're more on our knees and more dependent upon our God for all things. So welcome again, one and all. And our opening song is titled, Is Your All on the Altar? You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield.
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Amen.
Amen. And He alone is worthy to have all our love, worship, praise, and adoration. Our all. Shall we pray? Our dear blessed Father in heaven, we thank you for giving all that we might be saved. Dear Savior, we thank you for giving all that we might be saved. And please help each one of us to give all to you, that we also might share with you in eternal life. We thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, a day closer to getting off of this wicked, sin-cursed, diseased, sad earth, and be able to enter into life everlasting, into eternal joy and peace, love and happiness, because we're with you, the God of all love, peace, joy, and happiness. Thank you, Savior, for already preparing a place for the ransomed of the Lord in the city of God, and for already providing a place for the redeemed on the new earth that will soon be created. We're unworthy of it all, even of your love. But we thank you for this precious gift of eternal life, of salvation, of union with thee. And help us to prize this gift more than any other thing the world can offer. If we have you, we have everything we need. We pray that thy presence will continue in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And please help us to see things as you see them. Help all custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions fall as blinders from our eyes, as scales away from us, that we might behold the truth as it is in our Savior. And allow it to become part of us. And Spirit, please continue to convict us of all of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, that we might indeed be getting ourselves ready and prepared for the soon coming of our Savior, and not be caught unawares and lost. Help us indeed to manifest our love for you first and foremost, as well as with our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith in Christ Jesus. And thank you so much for enabling us to do so with your divine grace and strength and your precious promises found in your word of life. Father, we again lift up the prayers and petitions of thy people that have already been mentioned. Thank you for hearing and answering each one, and we also add to them that you'll give traveling mercies to our dear Bacena family, that you will allow our dear sister Dee Dee to have a wonderful time there, become established, and to be an excellent and effective witness of thee and the present truth to those whom she will be living among. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you, Father, that thy truth is speeding and spreading around this world, enlightening it with thy glory. And soon as the waters cover the sea, every single nation, kindred, tongue, and people will have that precious chance of accepting the truth as it is in Jesus and entering into eternal life, or rejecting the truth. But we pray that they will accept it. And thank you that thy kingdom is swelling with new precious souls, and Babylon is growing more empty of souls. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and this is part 25 of our series, To Love the Lord Thy God, and we're dealing with the spiritual aspect of it. And last time we discovered that we are to express and manifest this godly love at all times and in all places, and that this love is to be for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not just the ones that we choose to love, but even those that are very difficult in nature. And we also saw that one of the greatest problems among God's people is to be found in their evil surmising about one another. Instead of them thinking the best of one another, others often think the worst, and imagine them being guilty of all kinds of evil intentions against them. But we learned that Christ advised all of his followers that before imagining evil against a fellow brother and sister, that you are to first carefully examine and judge your own actions to see if you are guilty of doing the same things you believe others have done against you. And if you see that you are guilty of the same sins, then you must first repent and put away this sin. And it's only after your repentance and forsaking of this sin that you are now cleansed from this selfishness and can then be able to see more clearly how to help others. In following this divine instruction, you would be avoiding becoming a hypocrite and being an agent of Lucifer, and thus you will be in a much better position and spirit to help others overcome the same wrong, because you have already overcome it through the blood of the Lamb. But if you choose not to obey this divine instruction from God, and instead believe that your evil imaginations against one another are factual truths, then you will not be advancing towards heaven. You will not be closer to the promised land, but instead you would be going backwards into Egypt or the world. And this would plainly reveal that you are not growing more true and honest in Christ Jesus, but are instead growing more false and deceitful in Lucifer. So that is what we learned last time. But now, what are we to do in those times in which the facts make it plainly evident that something is wrong and sinful in one or more of our brothers or sisters? Just how are we to deal with problems and sins among us, and at the same time manifest true, unselfish, Christ-like love for those who are in the wrong? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. For those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID793.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. So how are we to deal and handle with sin problems among us. Look at quote number one. Many have been taught that you show more love for one another by remaining silent when sins are apparent in them than you would by pointing out their wrongs. Now, this particular position of silence might be correct according to the way the world operates, but this position is not correct according to God's word. In Mark 10, verse 21, we're told, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." If Christ would not have loved him, then Christ would not have pointed out the one thing that he lacked in righteousness. But it was because of his love for this individual, Christ pointed out his wrong. In Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." In Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears." And Paul, in this case, was reproving church members for their sins and was also calling them to repentance and reformation. "So I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." So we see that the idea that you truly love someone by remaining silent and not pointing out their sins is incorrect, because these verses reveal that true Christ-like love includes correcting and reproving those who sin among us, even at times shedding tears in concern for their souls. And in fact, it can take a greater amount of love for you to reprove one another than it takes for you to remain silent. But here are some other Bible texts on not remaining silent, but instead helping our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith to see their wrongs and their sins, and to help them overcome. If you look at quote number two, from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 to 15. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." In Galatians 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In Jude 1, verses 20 to 23, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In Titus 2, verses 12 to 15. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In Proverbs 9, verse 8, rebuke a wise son, and he will love thee. And then in Proverbs 27, 17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. All these verses plainly reveal to us that we're not to remain silent when wrongs and sins are apparent among one or more of our brothers and sisters, but we are to point these sins out in loving concern for their souls and then help them overcome and come up that much closer to God's standard of truth and righteousness. And just as iron is used to sharpen iron, then sparks will fly as self rises up and comes against the reproof. But just because sparks fly does not mean that this process should stop, but instead it should wisely continue. And this is because the only way to get the rough and dull-edged ground away from each one of us is through varying degrees of pressure being applied until our lives are sharpened up for the Lord. And it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters to help sharpen one another up in the Lord. You look up quote number 3. Now this reproving and correcting of our brothers and sisters for their wrongs and sins is all to be done out of love for their souls, not out of love for ourselves. It is to be done to help build them up in the Lord, not to build up ourselves in self-exaltation over them. It's to be done out of tender concern for them, not out of tender concern for our pride. In Ephesians 4, verses 31 to 2, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then Luke 17, verses 3 to 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, what are we to do if someone who is very close to us should happen to sin against us? Or what are we to do if someone who is having anger problems should sin against us? And what are we to do if someone of great importance in our church or remnant movement should sin against us? How are we to handle all of these particular brothers and sisters in the faith? You look at quote number 4 from James 2, verses 1 to 4. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So if we're biased in our judgment one of another, we commit sin by being biased. If we are partial one to another, some were more hard against while others were more lenient for the very same sin, then that partiality makes us sinful. So there's to be no partiality in our warning and even rebuking of sin among us. We're not to be biased at all, but impartial. Another text is found in Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So we are not to be partial towards those whom we should warn and even rebuke for the wrongs and sins among us. And neither should we be afraid of doing this necessary correction among us, even towards those whom we know may not welcome what we say. We're not to allow potential consequences to keep us silent. In Ezekiel 2, verses 6 to 7. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So no partiality towards those who are very close to us. No partiality towards those who might be angry with us, and no partiality is to be shown to those who hold important positions of responsibility among us. If they sin, their sins are to be pointed out in the way that Christ would do so, regardless of the consequences. Amen. Sin is sin, no matter who they are. So as not a single one of us is beyond the capability of committing sin, then how should we respond if we are being reproved and rebuked for our actual sinning. If you look at quote number 5, none of us are born with the precise knowledge of how to lovingly and correctly reprove one another. It's not inherent within us how to do it perfectly, rightly, at all times. So then this means that we're going to have to learn how to do this reproving and correcting in the proper way. So you can see that it's a process of trial and error. So this means that sometimes we are not going to reprove and correct one another in the best possible way. Nerves or anxiety may cause us to express ourselves in an improper way, perhaps using wrong words. We may become too vague or even too blunt, and thus we may reprove in a completely wrong way. So, dear ones, each one of us are going to make mistakes in reproving one another, even though our intentions are the best. So then let us keep this in mind, that since we may reprove and correct one another improperly, then the same may be said for those seeking to reprove us. It may not be in the best way it could have been, but yet we were still reproved. So then, irregardless of whether we are reproved and corrected in the best possible way or in the worst possible way, how should each one of us respond when our brothers and sisters in Christ come to us seeking to correct and reprove us of our sins? In Psalms 51, verse 17, we're told, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." In Proverbs 1, verse 5 and 7 through 9, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." In Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 to 2, "Be more ready to hear, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin." In Proverbs 15, verse 5 and 31 to 3, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." In Proverbs 13, verse 1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." In Proverbs so that we're to be more willing to hear than we are to speak. And if self is fully crucified in us and we are truly converted, then we will not refuse or despise the reproof. But we will first take some time to carefully, prayerfully, and honestly investigate into our lives to see if the reproof and correction is justified and we are indeed in sin. So no matter how the reproof came to us, no matter who brought the reproof to us, no matter how it was brought across, let us in humility listen, investigate, examine our lives, and see if we are indeed in sin. And if we discover that our reprovers are correct and we are indeed in sin, then we will honestly, sincerely, and fully repent for our sins, and with grateful and appreciative hearts thank those for loving us so much that they took the time to point out our sins so that we could be saved and not lost. So instead of being angry at the reprover, we would be grateful. If you look at quote number 6, from Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. No reproofs of instruction would be the way of death. But reproof of instruction is the way of life. In Proverbs 10, verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But it's more than this, dear ones. The correction that has been given us has saved us from leading others out of the way of life because of our wrong example. So the reproof just didn't help us, but it also helped all of those who were looking to us or would be influenced by us not to follow in the same wrong pathway. We're told in Hebrews 12, verses 11 to 13. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we're not to spurn those who instruct us, those who reprove us, those who seek to correct us, but we're to be grateful that they took the time to manifest their love for us so that we could be changed. But now, what if in our careful, prayerful, and honest investigation into our lives, we discover that the one who reproved us are not correct, and we are not in sin? What are we then to do? We are to try and help them to understand where they have been mistaken about us where they have misjudged us, and that they themselves should repent for falsely accusing us. But we can still be grateful and appreciative that they loved us enough to try and help us in areas which they thought we needed help in. But in all honesty, dear ones, if you look at quote number 7, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, as we were told in Hebrews 12. And thus it is rarely a pleasant thing to be reproved for our sins. And why is this? In Proverbs 15, verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. In John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. So since we are all of a fallen, sinful nature, then it's not pleasant to our natures to be reproved for our wrongs and our sins. And this is because pride is right at hand to eagerly come to the rescue and defend self. And this selfish defense can be manifested in several different ways. One of them is by denial and even outright lying to prevent our sins from being exposed. Another is becoming angry at being reproved. Self is rising up. Another way is by totally ignoring the correction and then attacking the one who reproved us. And another, which many don't recognize, is a selfish way to rise up against reproof, is that we simply become hurt in feeling and offended at being rebuked or corrected by another. This is just natural. But we're to have all self crucified in Christ Jesus. So when someone comes to us and reproves us for a wrong which they see, let us not be angry at them. Let us not outright lie to try and hide the fact that we've sinned. Let us not ignore what they have said. Let us not begin attacking them just because they reproved us. And let us not allow our feelings to come into the mix and become hurt and offended that we have been rebuked. Let us have self crucified in Christ Jesus so that it cannot rise up and come to our defense. And what happens when we take offense and become hurt in feelings when we're reproved? Our hurt and offended feelings start the process of lessening our godly love for the reprover. And it soon dies out. Completely. If you look at quote number 8, Matthew 24, verses 10 to 12. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And if we allow our love to wax cold for any of our brothers and sisters in Christ, then there will be nothing to keep our pride in check. Self will then take complete control over our lives, and with self in control, then whatever love we had for them will quickly turn into hatred. And especially this hatred will burn towards those who have reproved us. All because self was not crucified. And we allowed our feelings to become hurt. Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Feelings got hurt. Paul, in love, was pointing out wrongs. But because self and feelings got in the way, they viewed him as their enemy, not their best friend. In Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So, dear ones, let us realize that this hatred for one another is catastrophic to our spiritual life. It's not something that's going to make us grow more in grace, but grow less in grace. So it's not something to cling to and cherish within us, but we should cast out hatred out of our hearts as quickly as possible, or we're going to be ruined and lost. We're told in Matthew 5, verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. So if we find ourselves being angry towards our reprovers, that anger is going to destroy love for them out of our hearts, and we're gradually going to come to hate them. And what is the end result for all this selfish hatred being indulged in and cherished among us? Instead of cast out and replaced with godly love? What's the end result? We're told in Daniel 5, verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. In Proverbs 15, verse 10, he that hateth reproof shall die. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And in Proverbs 5, verses 11 to 13, thou wilt mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Now, since no one among us desires to be suddenly destroyed and forever lost, then how can we keep our love for one another strong and not allow it to wax cold and then turn to hatred? how can we keep selfishness and pride dead within us and instead allow Christ-like love to be the ruling principle in our hearts, even towards our reprovers? In quote number 9 from Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In Hebrews 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In Romans 12, verse 17 to 21, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Don't continue to be angry with him, but instead seek to help him. Continuing, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If you remain angry at your enemy, that anger will keep you from being good towards him, and you will be overcome with evil. In Ephesians 4, verses 26 to 7, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you become angry, how long should you remain angry? Less than a day. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Continuing. Neither give place to the devil. So this shows us that if you allow your anger against someone, including your enemies, to remain with you more than a day, you're allowing the devil to have a place in your heart. Don't hold on to that anger. Let it go. Or it's going to destroy you. It's going to eat out love for others from your heart. And thus you're going to become more and more like the devil instead of more and more like God. And then finally, in Leviticus 19, verses 16 to 18. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So through all of the verses that we've examined today, we've seen that we are not to ignore the real and not imagined sins which our brothers and sisters in the faith have done against us, no matter who they are or how we believe they may respond to our reproof. But with self fully crucified, we are to lovingly and softly or strongly, depending on the case and situation, rebuke them according to the level of their sin against us, in sincerely seeking to bring them to repentance and to make them more Christ-like in life. And we are not to allow our feelings to be hurt when others are seeking to reprove us and make us more Christ-like in life. We're not to ignore our sins in order to attack the character of the reprover. We're not to seek revenge against them or allow our love for them to waver and die out. But we're to keep self fully crucified. We're to carefully, prayerfully, and impartially investigate into our lives and see if we are indeed in sin. And if it is true, then we are to honestly, sincerely, and fully repent of these sins, and to also be grateful and appreciative towards those who have reproved us because they lovingly took the time to point out our sins that we were blind to and thus prevented us from continuing to be a wrong example in leading others astray. So I hope that you can see, dear ones, that not only do we need to be daily converted in order to truly love one another as Christ loves us, not only do we need to be humble in reproving and correcting one another, but we also must be daily converted in order to humbly receive reproof and correction against us, and not proudly become offended or hurt in feelings and rebel against the reproof, and thus turn our godly love for our reprovers into satanic hatred. And God will help us each step of the way in crucifying self whenever it appears, and thus growing in grace more into the likeness of our Savior. But now, what if a brother or sister is indeed in sin and has been lovingly reproved and corrected by us, but after a while it's clear that they have not chosen to repent or correct their sin? What should we do then? Should we just go about our ways and leave them with the Lord? Should we ignore them? What should we do? And this is what we're going to investigate into next time. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. Praise God for His word of instruction so that we can learn what to do from an all-wise God of righteousness and justice and mercy, and not have to rely on what we think should be done or what others tell us should be done. God tells us. praise God for his word of wisdom. And praise God for brothers and sisters in the faith that truly love us enough to help us grow in grace. Our closing song is titled, I Need the Prayers, Also the Reproofs of Those I Love. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er love's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to him, that he may keep me by his power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. We need the prayers of those we love. Thank you, dear ones, for praying for me. I love you for it. And please continue. And my prayers will be for you as well. Shall we pray? Precious loving Father, thank you for showing us how to love one another because you have shown your love for us. Thank you for correcting and instructing us in measure that we may learn how to help others come up and be that much closer to you in character. Forgive us, Father, for being so slow to learn, being so selfish and sensitive, allowing feelings to control us instead of keeping them under control of thy Spirit. Forgive us for not loving one another enough to reprove and instruct and correct them in the way of righteousness, but caring more for ourselves and remaining silent because we don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to cause waves. We don't want to create controversy, or we're fearful of how they may respond. Help us to seek first the glory of God, your righteousness, and then helping one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen indeed. And dear sister, we'll be keeping you in prayer with the bad storms that are approaching, and praise God for already protecting you from all harm. God's love to you too, dear sister, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you again. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, songs, testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share, please feel free. And we love you also, dear brother and sister Coates. So please go right ahead.
Well, this is a little bit different topic, but I wanted to share it. Today, if my dad had been alive, would have been his 100th birthday. And when, I don't know, this is about 20, 30 years ago, when my dad passed away in 2008, just a month before his 91st birthday. But I had, my dad was a special person, not just because he was my dad, but sometime in the 80s, I think it was, I decided I wanted to give a public tribute to him to let him know how much I appreciated him. And I went home to our Exeter church, and they had a potluck afterward. And one of the things that I said was that I had an earthly father who made it very easy to look from my earthly father to my heavenly father. My dad commented later I was talking about somebody else. But one of the reasons, and just as one example, after my sophomore year at the Junior Academy at home, I went over to Monterey Bay Academy, and I went in the summertime to help earn money to pay for my tuition. Well, it happened that I got there before the Soquel camp meeting started, and the school had a bus that took us over to all the evening meetings, which I never got to do because we couldn't go. My dad couldn't afford to go up for the whole week that they had it, because we had cows that had to be milked every morning and evening. But that Friday evening, as the bus was pulling out, and we were getting loaded, we pulled out, and as I looked out the window, here was one of the guys that I'd gone to school with for all 10 years. There were three of us that went through 12 years of school together, and when he waved back, it wasn't that a boyfriend was waving back or anything special like that. It was home waving back to me, and I cried all the way back to the school. The next Sabbath morning when I got off the bus, I wasn't looking around really that closely, and I walked into somebody. I looked up, and it was my dad. He knew I was going to be homesick before I knew I was going to be homesick. And I remind parents, as I've met them in grocery stores, when I saw a little boy that was pushing his mother's grocery basket along, and he couldn't reach the big handles. He was down at the bottom pushing around. It was running into people. And the mother was apologizing. I says, "Don't apologize." I said, he was probably about 3 years old, maybe four. I said, "He's trying to help mom, and that should never be, you know, I don't feel bad that he ran into me with the thing, but he's trying to help mom, and you don't discourage that." And I said, "More than anything else, be what you want your kids to be. I can see in myself things that my dad never preached about, he never talked about, but he lived it so strongly that in his four children, he's put those characters into us very strongly. And that's why today, as I think back of what the Lord gave me in a earthly father, I also know that he also answered my prayer. For when it came time and I knew that my dad's health was going down, the Lord answered my prayer in one more way. I said, "Lord, when it's his time to go, please don't let him go in pain. Let him go in peace and without any pain." And the Lord answered that prayer. And so I can just remember that I had the privilege of an earthly father, and more than anything else, to those of you who have kids, live what you want your kids to be, because your example will speak stronger sometimes more than all of your words. And I looked at, asked my brothers and sisters, do you remember any sermons about, my dad's middle character trait was integrity. We can't remember one sermon that he ever preached to us about it, but he lived it so strongly and just telling us things that happened at his work that it remained strong in us. And so, and today I want to give praise of what my Heavenly Father gave me and an earthly father, and just pass on the experiences and the thankfulness that I have for my earthly father.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, for sharing. And your dad was very wise. Example speaks louder than words. In other words, actions can do more than preaching a sermon. Amen indeed.
One thing, after my dad passed away, he had twin sisters, and one sister lived up in Modesto. And my dad's father lived in Missouri, so I never got to know him all that well, but I went to his sister, and I told her, I said, these are the things that I admire about my dad. And I started listing him off, and she got tears in her eyes, and I realized that my dad was so much like his own dad. And I thought, what an example, because I didn't know him that well, but when my aunt got tears in her eyes, I realized I described my grandfather. And my dad, even though he was the third boy born, he was also the junior, given the junior name. And it helped me understand more and more how much that can be passed on.
Amen. That is true. There's a comment in the room that says, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Boy, say that three times fast. That's a tongue twister. But it's true. Actions speak louder than words. Well, dear ones, I just want to let you know once again that because of the generous donations of brothers and sisters, our dear brother Willington has a lot of Present Truth materials printed out, and he would like you to send to him whatever African requests for materials that you have, and he will make sure that they get those materials. And here is his email address that you can send him those names and addresses, or forward on to him the email requests that you may have, and he will indeed get the materials out to them. And thank you, dear Brother Willington, for doing that important work. Is there any more comments, any more requests? Testimonies, songs, questions, anything else that you'd like to share, please go right ahead.
We will sing Anywhere with Jesus. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and nevermore to roam, anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Thank you, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you, Elder Bob, for prayer for troubled mercies. Blue, Jean, and I will be traveling to the Philippines next Friday, and we will miss you for a few Sabbaths. We hope to be also light there, whoever we meet, and God bless you all as well.
Well, thank you, dear sister, and God bless you too, and we'll indeed be keeping you in prayer, and we'll miss you until you come back. And before I forget it once again, many of you know dear brother James and sister Lucy from Australia. They send their greetings. They said they miss you all, and they're almost completed with the tasks that they are involved in, and then we'll be back in fellowship with us once again. So just wanted to let you know they send their greetings, and they miss you, and they thank you for your prayers and all.
Praising blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song.
Let your light so shine.
Oh, verse 3, I'm sorry. My computer went out. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting,
looking above,
filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let the light so shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify our Father.
I like to sing a hymn. It is called, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. I would like to share a hymn. I don't know if Elder Rob, you have it. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Elder Ron. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow lies deep, billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Thou Satan shall buff, though the trial shall come. I'm not acquainted with these, but I will try. Let this bless our sure friends control. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. I hope that's right. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious dawn, my sin not in part, but the whole.
is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. O Lord, has the day when my faith shall be signed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Thank you for those beautiful hymns. And another one comes to mind. Hold fast till I come. Sweet promise is given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others, be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day, as spring shows that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
Well, I guess Lynn's gone, so I think maybe I'll try this one. Yes, this is our hope. 'Tis built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. Our promises all, it stands as the sun. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of him, the kingdom restored to you shall begin. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come.
I'll sing a song, Sabbath blessings to everyone again. And this is called In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In time like these, you need the Bible. In time like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In time like these, I have a savior. In time like these, we have an anchor. We are very sure. We are very sure. Our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. We are very sure, and be very sure. Our anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen, and thank you. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close? Please feel free. Well, it's been a wonderful, uplifting Sabbath fellowship with you all today. Looking forward to the next time we're able to be together. And I pray that God will keep you all safely in his hands, leading and guiding you into all truth and in the ways of everlasting life while we're apart from one another just for a short time. And instead of having a closing scripture song, I thought it would be appropriate to have this hymn. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. They will travel to the city. We will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Wish it sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will feel your Lord coming. You will hear Christ's saving trumpet. You will see the saints arise in two more days. Then we'll travel through the city. Then we'll shout our suffering over. Then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, shining through the air.
Amen. Keep looking up, dear ones, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you soon. So may God bless you with a wonderful remaining Sabbath day and a blessed new week. Is my prayer.